Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
We're in Hebrews chapter 13, like I said just a little while ago, just a very practical and down-to-earth message that I want to share with you this afternoon. And the title of it is simply, Doing Good Deeds. Doing Good Deeds. That's based on Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 16. And that verse says the following, But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Let's read that again. But to do good. Now this is God speaking to us through his word today. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. I came to this verse through my devotions. And this verse came up as a part of my morning devotions. You know, I encourage you to be in the Bible daily, and I try to live that myself. And the other morning, this was the verse that I was studying, and as I was studying it and thinking about it, I thought, you know what, I need to preach this because I need to be reminded of it. If I need to be reminded of it, good chance you need to be reminded of it as well. So this afternoon, take a few minutes to talk about doing good deeds. I love what John Wesley said. John Wesley was one of the pioneers of the Methodist movement back in England. And he said this, maybe you've heard this quote before. It's a great quote. He said, do all the good you can by all the means you can and all the ways you can and all the places you can at all the times you can to all the people you can as long as ever you can. And what a great thought that we are encouraged by one of the founders of Methodism to do good to other people. And that sounds right because it is right. It sounds right because it is Bible. You know, it is a wonderful thing to be the recipient of someone else's doing good to you. Sharon and I experienced that about 27 years ago. I was on church staff at a church in the Chicago suburbs there. The pastor there, Sharon doesn't want me to say anything. She's giving me the evil eye. Don't go there. It was not a good experience. And here's one of the, we weren't there a week, and I looked at her, and I said, what have we gotten ourselves into? I knew the pastor there back in Louisiana. I was there when he walked the aisle and got saved. He went to Bible college, graduated, and went to a church in the Chicago suburbs. When I felt led to leave the Christian school that I was at down in Louisiana, he got word of that, and he said, I want to start a Christian school. He said, will you come up here to Chicago? And so we went up there, and man, he just, you know, treated us like royalty. And after about the first week, I turned to Sharon and I said, what have we gotten ourselves into? What in the world? Found, you know, in public, he comes across pretty good. In private, his mode of operation is just personal intimidation. And you wouldn't think so from a pastor. Some of you may, I know that some of you have experienced that before. And, you know, 3 years into it, I go to him, and I felt the Lord was calling me to pastor. And I'm the Christian school principal, assistant pastor, coach, and wore all kind of hats there. And went to him and told him, I said, I feel the Lord has called me to pastor. And in most cases in ministry, if you don't know, when an assistant goes to a pastor, a lot of pastors expect that. You know, it's common that an assistant pastor will someday be a senior pastor. It doesn't happen all the time, but it's common. And in most cases, they say, great, we'll be praying for you. You know, I'll see what I can do to help you along the way. You know, get back to work. And when that door opens, we'll close this one and we'll help you open that one and you can go your way. And I thought, well, that's the way it'll be done here. And I went in and told him, and you know, the Lord's called me to be a senior pastor. And he said, okay. And a few weeks later, he called me in. He said, you're done. He said, you're done here. And I mean, it was just like 2 months before the end of the school year. My kids are in the Christian school there. And we were done. I mean, thrown out on the streets. Well, it just so happened that I had met up there Pastor Paul Kingsbury, who pastored up in Rockford, Illinois, which is about an hour away. We had met before, and we had hit it off. And he knew this pastor, and he knew this pastor was quite capable of doing that kind of thing. He had that track record then. He's got that same track record today. And Pastor Kingsbury found out our plight. Well, I don't know how far it is from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, up there, but a long way from home. Didn't have any family support up there. We moved everything up there. That had become our home. Didn't have any family other than our church family. Now, by the pastor's own decree, we're estranged from them. But Pastor Kingsbury came to the rescue. And he came to me, and he knew that this man was capable of that. He knew that my heart was right. And you may think, well, there's got to be more to the story than that. You must have done something terrible. Without patting myself on the back, no. The terrible thing I did was I told him, you know, I feel the Lord's calling me to pastor. And there are a group of men like that who run in a certain circle, and they think, well, if you're not for me, you're against me. And if you're not here, then you must be against me. So goodbye and good riddance. Pastor Kingsbury found out about that, and he said, it just so happens we have a parsonage on the church grounds that's open. And I know you have no place to go, nothing to do. He says, you and your family are welcome to come and stay there. And not only did we stay there, and that's where we stayed, that's where we came from when we came here. We came from Rockford, Illinois. We went there with what little belongings we had at the time and stayed there. And he provided some food. The folks took us in and loved us and provided some employment there at the church. And Paul Kingsbury and Diane were just what the doctor ordered for us. And here it is 26 years later, and if he called me tonight and said, I need you, and I need you now, I would hop in the car and head over to Rockford, Illinois. I am so indebted to that man for loving us and encouraging us. When I got the phone call from Brother Bob that said the church has voted to call you as the pastor, the next thing I did, I walked into Paul's office. It was on a Wednesday night, I think it was, and walked into Paul's office. He said, well, he said, they want me to come. What do you think? And he said, yeah, I think you ought to go. He said, that'd be a good deal. So, you know, I love Brother Paul, and I am indebted to him. It is wonderful to be the recipient of someone's goodness. But what I really want to focus on tonight is being the beneficiary of doing good to other people. I mean, oftentimes you hear that the person that did the good or made the sacrifice was more benefited than the person that you did the good for or to. Understand, the Bible places great emphasis on being the doer of good deeds. Now, if you're blessed to be the recipient, praise the Lord. But don't forget about the importance of being the doer of the good deeds. Again, our verse today. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now, what does that verse say? If you interpret that verse in a language current, you might say it this way. Don't ever forget to do good and share with others. That's what it means when it says, but to do good and to communicate, forget it not. He's saying there, don't forget to do good and share, because it pleases God when you sacrifice. God wants us to sacrifice in order to do good to help others. This is what Albert Barnes says about that. A quote from him, a Bible commentator. Concerning this verse, Albert Barnes says, he is pleased with the sacrifices of prayer and of praise, with the offerings of a broken and contrite heart, but he is especially pleased with the religion which leads us to do good to others. Now remember that, because I'm going to show you exactly what he's talking about. But first, look at what another theologian writes. Concerning this verse, the sacrifices of praise coming from the lips of God's people please him only when accompanied by loving action. Now, what's that referring to? Well, we've read in verse number 16, but to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. In context, you have to go back to the previous verse. What does the verse before that say? Well, verse number 15 tells us to do this. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. And then we get to the verse we're studying today after he says, praise God, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. That's why Albert Barnes said he is pleased with the sacrifices of prayer and of praise, with the offerings of a broken and contrite heart, but is especially pleased with the religion which leads us to do good to others. So you see the verse behind you, see verse number 15. That's talking about talking the talk, and that's part of it. We should talk the talk. We should praise God. We should express thanksgiving to God. But verse number 16 is walking the walk. And that is equally important, where you are doing good. It is not enough that we simply talk the talk. It is equally important that we walk the walk. Because the idea of you and I taking time and making sometimes sacrifices, that's very much taught in Scripture. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And in James 2:17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now look, you don't do good deeds to be saved. I'm not emphasizing that because I think that's a given here. We know that you don't go to heaven by being good. But I think it's fair to say because you're going to heaven, you ought to do good. Okay? That's what this is teaching us, to do good. When you do a good deed for others, the deed itself is but the tip of the iceberg. I mean, you may, let's just say, give somebody $10. You know they have a need for something, and you have $10, and you give them $10. And we think in terms of, I gave them $10. And you can feel pretty good about that, and that's all well and good. But the actual act itself, if you think about it, that's just the tip of the iceberg. The good that a good deed does is multiplied. Let me cite for you what I'm talking about here. Look behind me. In addition to that, you demonstrate to someone that you took note of them. And that's so important. A lot of times people going through tough times thinks that nobody cares. And the $10 pales in comparison to the fact that somebody took note of me. Secondly, you demonstrate that they matter. You know, a lot of people are in such drama in their lives, they feel like nobody understands them, nobody gets them, nobody cares about them. Well, giving that person that $10, the significance really isn't the $10. The significance is that you took note of them and that you demonstrate that they matter. And then next, you encourage them. To know that somebody's taking note, to know that you matter to somebody, that's an encouragement to them. I mean, the $10 may get them a loaf of bread, but the fact that somebody cared about them, the encouragement that comes to their spirit and to their soul. You also allow them to see Jesus in you. You know, you hopefully have the opportunity to witness to them, or they know that you're a Christian and they see Jesus in you. I mean, again, giving them the $10, the tip of the iceberg. But there's so much that goes along with that. You make a friend or deepen a friendship with that individual. You may help them achieve a good goal. And you may motivate them to do the same thing. The kind act of generosity that you demonstrate towards someone may motivate them to do that same act of generosity towards somebody else. We should always, especially as Christians, be thinking about others, how we can help them, and good deeds that we can do, things to encourage people. You know, one of the things I like to do is, you know, I respect people that work, regardless of the work. One of my pet peeves, I think I've said it from up here before, is people that make fun of people that work in hamburger places and just referring to them as, you know, hamburger flippers. You know, and the implication there is demeaning. That person is just a hamburger flipper. I tell you what, I like hamburgers, therefore I like the person that's flipping those burgers. And there's nothing demeaning about somebody who would take a job working in a hamburger place seriously. I think that's commendable. And there are lots of times, and again, I'm not patting myself on the back because I got so much more room to improve, but I do this, and Sharon will tell you this, that oftentimes pulling through the drive-through, you know, if somebody does a nice job with taking the order and you understand them and they get it right and they're pleasant, you know, and then pull up to the first window, if they've done a good job, I will invariably tell that person, I say, you take orders very well. You're doing a good job. You ought to see their faces light up. You know, I can only wonder how many times somebody complains, somebody gripes, or worse than that, just ignores them. You know, they're talking to somebody and just kind of halfway noticing the person taking the order, or worse than that, on their phone, you know, and just treating them like they're nobody. You know, this is something I really try to live and try to do. That's just one of the, I don't know why the Lord puts that on my heart. Oftentimes, not every time I go through a drive-thru, but oftentimes he does that because my heart goes out to somebody that's working hard at a job that oftentimes doesn't pay a whole lot. I love this quote, though. This encourages me to do that more. No act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted. Can you ever waste an act of kindness? Usually the greatest beneficiary of a good deed is the person sacrificing to do the good deed. We've talked about how this encourages the other person. The recipient of the good deed surely is blessed. But what about the person that does the good deed? Have you thought about how blessed you can be for doing something good for somebody, helping somebody out? I love this quote. It is one of the most beautiful compensations of this life that you cannot sincerely try to help another without helping yourself. That is true, folks. So often you go to help somebody else, and the person that is really blessed is not the person that's on the receiving end of your encouragement or generosity. It's you. I read an online article, and this is a secular article, okay? This is purely secular. Wasn't on a Christian website or whatever, but it is interesting because if they're doing true research, it is going to reflect what the Bible teaches us. And in an online article citing research, it outlines the benefits of doing good deeds. This article cited how it does the doer of good deeds good for having done them. And with each one of these points, it cited research. You know, Duke University researched this or whatever. And this is the conclusion they came about with for individuals who do the good deeds, not the recipient of the good deeds, but the doer of the good deeds. They cited this, and they cited evidence that these things are true. Doing good decreases stress. Doing good increases life expectancy. This is all documented through research. Doing good makes us feel better. Doing good makes us happier at work. Doing good promotes mental health. Doing good leads to happiness. Doing good motivates you to do good again. So if we're not doing good, if we're not conscious of trying to do it every day, we're missing out on some great benefits. The benefits of doing good is clearly acknowledged in Scripture. Look at these scripture verses. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Proverbs 19:17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Proverbs 22:9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I think this room is filled with very generous, very giving people. I think there are a whole lot of good deeds that get done by you that maybe I and others in the church aren't even aware of. And I am so thankful. I really believe that that is the heartbeat of this congregation. We have people filled with good deeds, but maybe not everybody. Maybe you are being reminded right now that you really haven't done anything of a sacrificial nature for anybody in a long time. Maybe you used to. Maybe you've just kind of been focusing on self, maybe wallowing in self-pity, maybe just busy with other things, and you needed this reminder today from God's Word that, you know, it's been a long time since I've complimented someone. It's been a long time since I've really done anything for anybody. I've been kind of focused on myself, maybe feeling sorry for myself. Here's a quote from William Penn. He said, if there is any kindness I can show, any good thing I can do, any fellow human being, let me do it now and not defer or neglect it, as I shall not pass this way again. In our context, I would say we have one shot at this life. We're not going to pass through this life again once the Lord's taken us home. So let us go about doing good. Let us go about encouraging others. Let me prime the pump a little bit. We're almost done here. Let me prime the pump a little bit. I came across a list of things that people can do. I think I've mentioned it before. Sharon is the best with ideas. When she's counseling with a lady, I'll always hear her say, you know, now think about doing this, or you can do this, and it comes natural to her. And oftentimes, whoever she's counseling with, the light will go on because for whatever reason, they haven't thought about it. So I want to give you some ideas of things you can do, and maybe one of these ideas will turn a light on and you'll go out and this week you'll do it, or maybe it'll remind you of something else related to this that you can do. Here's these 15 ideas real quick for doing good. Number one, make a double batch of something yummy and gift it to a neighbor. Now, they left out and also some of that to the pastor, but that's not there, but that should have been added there. Just baking for somebody. So, I think in terms of maybe somebody that's down, somebody that's discouraged, somebody that's going through a tough time. Buy a bag of groceries and donate it to your local food bank or shelter. Cut fresh flowers and bring them to your local nursing home. Bring someone less fortunate a plant or some fresh flowers. Make a meal for a friend recovering from surgery or an illness. Babysit for free. Parents will always appreciate that. Put together a basket of treats for someone who's had a death in the family and deliver it after the funeral when they'll need that extra support. Volunteer for a charity. When in line at the grocery store, let the person behind you go in front of you. Pet sit for neighbors going out of town. Make or order dinner for friends with a newborn baby. Pay for the person behind you at the drive-thru. Donate blood or volunteer for the American Red Cross. Write a letter or email to a good friend or family member to let them know how much you appreciate and value them. Visit a nursing home to chat with some of the residents. And on you can go. I just throw that out there maybe to prime the pump, to get us all thinking. Listen, when you do good for somebody, invariably it's going to make them feel good. It's, you know, what we talked about a while. He's going to let them know that somebody cares. It's going to let them know that they matter. It's going to encourage them. But I can pretty much guarantee you it'll do far more for you and me for taking the time to notice somebody, especially somebody going through a tough time, and doing something for them. I love this quote. A tree is known by its fruit, a man by his deeds. That could convict us kind of like a verse. That's not a verse, that's just a quote, but it kind of has the power of a verse. In other words, that could be convicting because, you know, yeah, a tree's known by a fruit. There's peaches, there's apples under that tree, must be an apple tree. You know, a man, look at his deeds. Are there any? You know, if there aren't, or maybe you found, maybe you're thinking right now, well, I used to do a lot more for people. And maybe you're at an age where you can't do what you used to do, but does that mean you can't do anything? I mean, you can make a phone call. Phone calls can be encouraging. You know, tell somebody you prayed for them, send them an email, send them a text message or what have you. That can be such a blessing. That can be such an encouragement. And maybe you can't do what you used to do, but again, that doesn't mean necessarily that you can't do anything. And doing something is better than doing, far better than doing nothing. You think about this group of people in this room. If we determine as best we could every day this week, we would do good for somebody. And it may be as simple as a compliment. And compliments are huge, huge. Can't tell you what that does for for people. Just to say you were a blessing or whatever it might be. All of this started with Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 16, in my devotion the other morning. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And if we all go out of here this afternoon with the intention of looking for opportunities to do good this week, this would have been time very, very, very well spent. Because the person to whom you do good, it's going to be more than just handing them $10 or whatever it might be. It's going to be such an encouragement, such an uplift. And it's going to mean more to you than what that $10 could have ever bought by doing something else with it. We're challenged this afternoon as we leave to do good deeds. The Bible emphasizes that. We barely scratched the surface of passages and verses that encourage you and me to don't forget this. Don't forget it. These kind of sacrifices, the Lord is well pleased. I think we could expect some blessings from the Lord if we start noticing others, reaching out to them and encouraging them. And who's going to be the real recipient of the blessings? You are.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's Word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.